a pastor tells the story of a family in his congregation. It was Wednesday afternoon. The mother called the young son in to come and get ready to go to church for children's choir and other church activities. The friends, who weren't accustomed to going to church, wondered why it was time for him to leave when they were having a good time. As the little boy ran off to his house, they said, "Where are you going? Why are you leaving?" This boy's response was, "I'm going to praise the Lord. You should try it. It's fun." Now, I don't know if any of you came to church this morning saying, "I'm going to praise the Lord. It's fun." Maybe not. But as I read the Psalms, so many of them filled with songs of praise and celebration of God's goodness, I see over and over again that the writers of the Psalms understood that there is joy and excitement and power in praising the Lord, in worshiping God, in celebrating the things that God is doing. And as we continue in this series of sermons on worship, I imagine that thinking about praise and why we are called to praise may be one of the things that raises some questions for some of us. We understand the Scriptures call us to praise, and yet over and over again we see this message emphasized, a reminder that God invites our praise and calls us to joyous celebration of the goodness of God. In Psalm 96 that Amy read earlier, we hear, as is true of so many of the Psalms, the psalmist alternating between invitations or calls to praise God and reasons that we should be praising God. Psalm 96, like so many of the Psalms, is focused on the reign of God, the goodness of God, the fact that God is in control, and invites us to sing to the Lord a new song, to praise His name, to proclaim His salvation, to declare His glory among the nations. And tells us that this is expected of God's people, because great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He set the heavens in place. He created the world. He offers stability and brings justice to His people. And we're invited through this psalm and so many others to join all of creation in praising God, who is holy and powerful and wonderful and loving. Our reading from 1 Peter is a familiar passage that reminds us of what God has created us to be. Using language often associated with the people of Israel, the chosen people in the Old Testament, this letter speaking to the church says to the church, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Think about what those images communicate to us. God reached out and called us to be God's chosen people. God calls us a holy priesthood, implying that we are called to be His ministers in the world. We are a people belonging to God. I often hear that phrasing far more than I hear the last part of that verse that tells us why God called us to be His people. "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." Why has God called us to be His people? Why has God called us to be a nation of priests so that we might declare God's praises and celebrate that He called us out of darkness into light. And in verse 12, to live that we might live such good lives that others may see our good deeds and they too may glorify God. We have a sense and a calling that in God's, as God's people, we are called to worship, to praise, to celebrate the goodness of God. So what does it mean to praise? I suspect we all have some idea of what it means to praise, but at its root, praise is adoration. Praise is recognizing and appreciating the goodness of God, acknowledging before God His power, His majesty, His goodness, His grace, His love. In praise, we open our eyes to what God has done and is doing, and we give God credit for the many ways He blesses us and cares for us. As we've acknowledged already in the first couple of weeks in this worship series, in worship, in praise, we take our eyes off of ourselves and notice, pay attention, watch for, listen for the evidence of God and what God is doing. And as part of thinking about praise, I want to make one distinction, because many of the Psalms we read call us to praise and thanksgiving. And sometimes I think it's easier for us to just mix the two together. And both are necessary, both are important. God calls us to praise and thanksgiving. Perhaps we can think about the distinction like this. If somebody gives you a gift that really just amazes you and surprises you and excites you, you may say to them, "Thank you for this marvelous gift," an expression of gratitude, an appreciation for what that person has done for you. But then if you follow it up by saying, "You are such a generous person and a great friend," you're moving towards a praise, a reflection on the character of the person who's given you the gift. In worship, we are called to thanksgiving, to thank God for what God has done for us, to appreciate the blessings, to recognize the things that God has done for us. But we're also called to praise, to reflect on the nature and the character of God, and to think about God's holiness, God's power, God's grace. Our worship invites us to praise, to thanksgiving, but to pay attention to who God is. And I wonder if this is an area that we can skip by far too easily in our daily lives and even in our worship. Each Sunday we gather, and near the beginning of the service, we have a hymn of praise. If you start paying attention to the hymns chosen for this part of the service, you will notice that our hymns of praise tend to be hymns that invite us to think about and voice God's greatness, God's majesty, God's power. There are an awful lot of our hymns in our hymn book that focus on us. You know, what God's done for me, I feel this way, I this. The hymn of praise, though, moves us beyond ourselves to think about who God is and why God is worthy and what God is doing in the world. And at its best, this hymn of praise helps us move our eyes off of the problems that were weighing on our minds. Praise helps us think about who God is, which then begins to help us put everything else in perspective. We're called to be people who focus our eyes on and think about God, praising God's name, recognizing what God is doing, recognizing who God is. And yet, if you're like me, there are times that you wonder, why does that matter? Does God have an ego that we need to stroke? Why does God call us to praise? Because I think it is in the act of opening our eyes and reflecting on God that we discover that perspective that strengthens us for living in faith and facing the challenges of life. Worship is not about us. Worship is about God. Worship is, as I said 2 weeks ago, our offering of our praise and our gratitude to God. But when we begin to open our eyes and pay attention to the presence and working of God, we're going to be transformed. Isaiah, in that vision we looked at 2 weeks ago, saw the holiness of God and was transformed. When we pay attention to the nature of God, we discover how much we still need God's grace and God's power. And I've shared this before, several years ago, but I want to come back and just raise it again because C.S. Lewis helped me think about worship and praise. Lewis was a bright, intelligent academic, not a believer who set out to read Scripture to disprove it and came to faith and became one of the great writers on faith in recent years. And he admitted, as he began to grow in faith, that the notion that God wanted our worship confused him. But as he thought and prayed through this studied Scripture, he thought that he came to an understanding that helped him make sense of it. He said, if we say that a picture, a painting is admirable or beautiful, we're saying it's worthy of our admiration, that oohs and ahs and appreciation of that painting are appropriate. And that if a person enjoys the beauty of that painting, it's an appropriate response. He said, on the other hand, if someone who's not an art lover comes and looks at this painting and doesn't get anything from it, it doesn't change the painting, but that person has missed out on the experience to enjoy the beauty of the work of art. If I go down and listen to a beautiful symphony, I may nod and think, yeah, they're playing well. But if I go with a music major, that person who can notice the details that I don't notice may come out of that symphony lifted up with a sense of wow and awe that's appropriate, that I've missed because I haven't gotten it. Lewis suggests that praising God doesn't change God. And if we don't choose to worship and praise God, it doesn't change God. In Luke 19:40, Jesus tells the disciples that if they were to quit praising God, stones will cry out. God is being praised. But inviting us to join in praise is an invitation to move our eyes off of our limited view of the world and discover the majesty of God in a way that transforms us, even as we sing God's praises. So this is part of why we get in the habit of gathering for worship. But worship and praise is not only about Sunday morning. Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Ephesians 5:19 encourages us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, y'all have got that figured out. You do that all the time, right? This is part of the growing challenge for us, to live with that daily, moment-by-moment awareness of God's grace and God's power and God's love, that we live with praise that responds in recognizing the goodness of God. And this is about more than singing. I think singing is valuable as worship. I'm not a singer, but I keep trying. Some of you are not singers, but as we, you're invited to reflect at least on the words as we sing songs together, and day by day to find ways, reading some psalms, maybe making the habit of reading a psalm or two every day, thinking about why you can praise God on that given day, thinking about how God has been good to you day by day. And praise is not about a particular style of worship. I'm fascinated that these days there's a whole style of worship called praise and worship that is one particular approach. But praise and worship can come in a variety of styles of worship. When Lee and I went to South Africa in 2000 and worshiped with those churches, it was inspiring to sense the energy of a group of people who were singing their hearts out in praise to God and who weren't looking at their watches to figure out when church was going to be done. They were excited to be in the presence of God, to worship together. There are styles of worship that aren't my style. There are places we could go and worship in very different ways and forms and styles. But ultimately, it's not about a style, but about our willingness to offer joyfully our praise of God. And sometimes I think those of us in a more traditional approach of worship need this reminder. Several of you have heard me say this any number of times, but last time Amy did her worship series, and she was talking about why we worship on Sundays. And she said, you know, in Jesus' day, they worshiped on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. The Christians, after Jesus was resurrected and after Pentecost, continued to go to the synagogue on Saturdays, but they began to worship on Sundays. And Sunday was a celebration of resurrection. So Sunday worship was to be joyful, a celebration that Jesus Christ was raised. And one of the children in the first round of worship classes said to Amy, "Do our people in church know that?" She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Do they know it's supposed to be joyful? Because they don't look joyful on Sunday morning." Now, joy doesn't have to be clapping or raising hands, but you ought to stand up here and watch faces during worship on any given Sunday morning, right? We're invited to think about who God is and to respond in styles that are appropriate to us but are genuinely joy-filled, recognizing the goodness and grace of God, paying attention, recognizing all that God has done. And doing this goes deeper than feeling. I recognize that on any given day, sometimes we may not feel grateful. We may not feel joyful. But I think learning to praise and worship is a discipline we develop. Making space in our lives to come to church and be reminded of some things we've not been paying attention to. Making space in our daily lives to read Psalms, to thank God, to reflect on God's goodness. And developing the habit of paying attention to God and God's worthiness. It takes a commitment to develop a willingness to make space in every day to think about God. There are some times in our lives that a beautiful sunset or something really good happens, praise becomes very natural. But as one writer has acknowledged. The Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about how we feel about praising God. The Bible invites us to enter into God's presence with singing and with praise. And often in the act of joining our voices with others or reflecting on God's worthiness, we discover more and more reasons that we can join in the praising of God. Tony Campolo admits that when he was younger, he could sometimes be a little weird on elevators. He was one of those, if he walked into a full elevator, might, instead of turning around and face the door, look at the people gathered there and say, "I guess you're wondering why I've called this meeting." Or one particular time that he was in a skyscraper that, if you've been to some of the big skyscrapers in some of the cities, some of the elevators don't even stop till the 75th floor or some floor well up. You know, they have multiple elevators for different sections of the building. And one particular day, he got on one of these elevators that wasn't going to stop until the 75th floor. And he looked around at this group of serious business people, and he said, "We need to lighten up. We're going to be traveling together for a while. What do you say we sing?" And he began to sing, "You Are My Sunshine." And most of the elevator joined in. And when he got to his floor, which was after several stops, once it got to the point that it stopped, he noticed a man get off but stay near the elevator. He looked at the man and said, "Are you going to the same meeting I'm going to?" And he said, "No, actually, my floor was several below. I just didn't want to stop singing before the song was over." Sometimes making that commitment to praising God, to singing of God's goodness, is just what our spiritual lives need. God isn't calling us to praise because God needs to feel good about God's self. God invites us to praise because God understands that worship, praise, broadening our scope, getting that perspective that comes in seeing the world through God's eyes, is necessary for our spiritual health. And so, as we remind ourselves weekly but also daily that God is worthy of all praise, we're called over and over again to sing a new song to the Lord, to sing God's praises, to worship God who is worthy of our praise. Will you pray with me? We celebrate you, God, your power, your tenderness, your patience, your love. We take so much for granted. Open our eyes again to be reminded of your goodness. Teach us to praise. Help us develop the discipline of sitting in your presence and acknowledging your worthiness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.